Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4, John writes, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." I am so glad that you are here. Because I am, as I was just sitting there singing, and close family here, and not more than 10 people, I promise you that, we're abiding by those rules. Ronnie, this is how the early church met, in homes. And what they do, they sang praises, and they would partake of the Lord's Supper, and they would learn more about God's Word while fellowshipping one with another. Although I do long for the day when we can all be back together, this will do for now. I want to preach a series of sermons. Going to do a first part this morning and second part this evening. So once again, I do hope you'll come back tonight live at 5. But as you can see on the wall beside me, we're going to talk about faith is the victory. We just finished singing a song, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." Our life should focus on faith, especially every day. But it seems like a lot of people are more focused on faith during these trying times. And so I want us to look at faith and how faith truly is the victory. And like I said, we'll come back tonight at 5 o'clock here live, and we'll do Overcoming the World. Because the song in our song books, we didn't put it up here today because I didn't have the rights to put it up here where you could sing with us. But the song, "Faith is the Victory," we are very familiar with that song. It was written in 1891 by a couple of people, John Henry Yeats. There's a great story behind him. I won't get into it now. But he was kind of clumsy and had all these things happen to him, just kind of a Eeyore, if you will. What could get worse? And then throughout this life, he penned a great hymn. And then Ira D. Sankey wrote music to so many of the songs in our songbook, published in over 175 hymnals. Was written in 1891, and each verse depicts the Christian going into battle. And before we move on, there are 4 points in our lesson this morning, and they'll be outlined on the wall beside me. I also posted a link in the description right before I got up. These notes are on my website, and I would love to give them to you. You can follow that link there. Scroll down where it says sermon notes or sermons. I can't remember how I word it, but it's on there. I promise you that. Faith is the victory. 4 points. So we have 4 words. So point number 1 is faith. We cannot go anywhere in this lesson without learning about faith. So first off, whenever we're dealing with a Bible topic, we would do well to define it for us. Now the world, according to Merriam-Webster, is going to define faith as a belief, word or honor that is pledged, credibility, or truth. Now, that's how the dictionary defines it, and that's great, and I go to the dictionary frequently. But I'm more concerned, how does God define it? And luckily for us, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, here is a biblical definition. What does faith mean? The Hebrew writer says, "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." In other words, faith is believing in something that you cannot see, but yet you know it's real. For instance, I have faith that my car is parked under the carport outside. I can't physically see it, but I have faith that it is still there. I have faith that Mars is a planet in our solar system, but I've never looked at Mars. Physically, I've seen pictures. I may have seen a tiny glance of it in the sky, but I've never actually been to Mars. I believe Abraham Lincoln was our 16th president, but I never met him. Yet I have faith. I believe that to be credible, and I believe that to be true. Friends, the word faith appears some 336 times in the Word of God. 336, and I'll tell you now, I did not go through and count them all. I actually looked it up in a program that does that. But here's the cool thing. This year, leap year, we have 366 days. 366 is not too far away from 336. That's almost one time or one different passage a day. I can go to God's Word, Old or New Testament, and I can learn something about faith. Friends, even the false teachers, they'll teach you that faith is important, but sadly, they're going to stop at faith alone. We're going to get to that in our third point. Maybe the fourth point. I don't know, somewhere in there. That's the second point. See, here's what happens when I'm just going off the top of my head. We're going to get to how faith alone will not help you. So if you're with me in Hebrews chapter 11, let's look at some great examples. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but what we're looking at is what I call the Hall of Fame of Faith. And I just imagine going like to any other Hall of Fame, and here's going to be a plaque to Abraham, and a plaque to Moses, and a plaque to Sarah, and all these other ones. We're going to kind of get a little synopsis of what they've done. Verse 4, by faith Abel, what did he do? He offered a more excellent sacrifice unto God. Verse 5, by faith Enoch, what did he do? He was translated that he should not see death and was not found because he pleased God. And you're going to notice as we go through all these, they start with the same prepositional phrase, by faith. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen, he was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, that by the which he condemned the world, he became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah had never seen rain, yet he built a boat to save him from the rain. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, and the Bible tells me, and the Bible tells you, he did not know where he was going. God said, get up and go, and Abraham got up and went. By faith, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise. He looked for a city which hath foundations, his builder and maker's God. Now look at verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength, conceived seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Jump down to verse 20, or verse 17. Once again, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, verse 20, blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, I love the King James, when he was a dying, He blessed both the sons of Joseph, and he worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Go to the next verse. Joseph, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing and of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. And then we go to the book of Exodus. Realize all that's still Genesis. By faith Moses, verse 23 on down, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. By faith Moses, verse 24, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, verse 27, he forsook Egypt. Though through his faith he kept the Passover, verse 28 and verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. And that's the book of Exodus. And then just very quickly in Joshua, verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. They were compassed about 7 days. By faith Rahab, the second woman mentioned here in this list, perish not because she received the spies with peace. And then verse 32, and this is why I think Hebrews might have been preached as a sermon, because the author here says, and what more should I say? Time would escape me, time would fail me to tell you of Gideon or Barak or Samson or Jephthah or David or Samuel the other prophets. This is not an exhaustive list of those of faith, but boy, it's a pretty good one to start on, isn't it? So, why is faith important? Go back to verse 6. And if you don't have verse 1 and verse 6 in your Bible underlined, I would recommend that. By faith, what? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who is him? That's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So friends, faith is the victory vine number 1, because it all starts with faith. And without faith, you cannot actually please God. That's number 1. Number 2, faith is. Faith is. Well, if we defined it, and you looked it up in the dictionary, it's a third person, singular, present, indicative of the word be. Now, everybody besides my English teacher mother, who's in the studio audience this morning, is everybody else was like, what? I know what is, but is a verb. We know that. And it's one of the most used words and most used verbs out there. But here's what I want you to notice. Is active. So look, I used is in a sentence describing is, but is active. Friends, remember the definition. Is a third person singular present indicative of the word be. It is active. Means you have to be doing something. It's not passive. I am actively speaking. I'm not sitting by. I am active. Faith is the victory. Is active. Let's look at an example here in James chapter 2. Flip over with me. Just a book, a couple of pages, if you will. Faith is. Let's look at an active faith. Verse 10, starting James chapter 2. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of it all. Friends, we either have to do everything that God says or do none of it. You can't pick and choose. I have a sign that I've had on different desks, and although I know we're not bound by the Old Testament anymore, but it says the Ten Commandments are not multiple choice. And we can extrapolate that to the New Testament. God's commands are not multiple choice. I can't pick the ones I want, and you can't pick the ones you want, because, friends, they're all important to God. It's not a cafeteria-style religion. Go down to verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and not have works, can his faith save him? The answer is no. And James is going to describe that in verse 15 and 16 there. We'll pick back up in verse 17. But he says you must have faith and you must have works. Well, we know faith is active and works is active. So we have to be active. Friends, I want you to imagine it this way. Say we're out in the middle of a lake and we're in a rowboat. And in our left hand we have an oar that says faith. And in our other hand we have an oar that says works. Now, if I want to go straight, I need to have both faith and works. But if I want to go to the right, I just have works. And if I want to go to the left, I just have faith. We have to have both if we want to move forward when we live the life of a Christian. Friends, cannot have one and say, well, I hope it covers up for the other, because it doesn't. Go to verse 17 through 19. Even so, faith, if it has not works, it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils or the demons also believe, and they tremble. Friends, it is dead. It is lifeless. It is useless. I've seen a church sign that says, Satan is no atheist, and then they reference here James 2:19. It's true. Satan will tell you he's real. All the demons, when Christ interacts with demons, the demons are usually the first people on the scene to identify Christ is the Son of God. But they don't put that into practice. They believe, but they don't go a step further. And then we see verse 24 and 26. Ye see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Then you have an example of Rahab. We've already mentioned her in Hebrews. Look at verse 26. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Friends, many in the quote-unquote so-called religious world, they will claim that all one needs to be faithful to God is faith. And they'll preach this doctrine of love, and they call it the faith only, or the faith alone doctrine. And faith only is found only one time in the Bible, verse 24, and look what precedes it. And not by faith alone. Friends, you must have more than just faith. Here's a quote I stole from Mom's classroom one year. It says, don't be upset with the results that you didn't get, with the work that you didn't do. I'll say that again. Don't be upset with the results that you didn't get, with the work that you didn't do. There are going to be many people on that judgment day. In fact, Jesus tells us so in Matthew 7, starting in verse 21 through verse 23. Many will say, Lord, have we not prophesied, cast out demons, done many wonderful things in thy name? They'll say, I don't know who you are. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Friends, you cannot pick and choose what you want to do to please the Lord. Point number three, faith is the. This one's pretty self-explanatory. We're familiar with the. It's an article. There's three articles, A, an, and the. And articles, especially the, designate the location of, or the number, or a location of an item. And it is definite. For instance, I can know for certain when I say, here is the microphone that's in front of me, I know which microphone I'm talking about, because I'm not going to lie, there are a lot of microphones in this room because I have a lot of microphones. But when I say it's the silver one there in front of me, I know which one it is. If I said, hey, have you seen my microphone? You may say, well, which one? Is it the silver? Is it the purple? Is it the, which one is it? But I've designated which one when I say thee. Well, friends, it's the same thing that Jesus Christ does. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, I feel you're familiar with this passage. Usually read when, at times when people are needing comfort and encouragement. And Jesus Christ says unto Thomas there, notice what Christ says. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me, or except through me. Now I want you to know what Jesus Christ says. He says, I am a way? No. He says, I am the way. I am a truth? No, the truth. I am a life? No. I am the life. Definite. There is one way, one truth, and one life. Only through one Jesus Christ. Couple that with what Paul says in Ephesians 4:4-6. There are seven things that Paul says there's one of. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope, one calling. We see that when Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's ruled out any other way to get to the Father. Friends, remember that our words are important, and they're especially important when Christ speaks them or when they're found in God's holy word. Faith is the. You figured out my pattern here. You know what point number four is. It's victory. Friends, faith is the victory. Well, as fashion, let's keep going. Let's define what victory is. You go to the dictionary, they'll tell you victory is an act of defeating an enemy or an opponent in a battle, a game, or another competition. Also defined as winning. And friends, everybody wants to win. I don't know too many people that go into a basketball game and say, boy, I sure hope I lose. No. We go into it saying, boy, I hope I'm good enough to beat my opponent. Or, boy, I hope the opponent I've picked is bad enough that my limited skill can actually beat him. Friends, I want you to know something very important, though. You celebrate after the victory. If I was going to go play a basketball game, and I'm not a good basketball player, and I happenstance scored the first goal, and it's 2-0, and then I start celebrating and start, and I'm so happy for myself, and then my opponent's going to turn around and score 6, 8, 10, 12 points against me. I can't celebrate before I have won. You watch racing, they do a victory lap win when they cross the finish line. Winner's podium, when you watch the Olympics, when do they give the medals? At the very end. No one celebrates before they've won. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, Paul says in Romans 13 and verse 3. Friends, when does our spiritual celebration come? Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Our spiritual celebration comes at the end, so we need to keep our eyes on the prize. Two quick examples, and the lesson is yours this morning. Flip with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul is writing Timothy a second time. Paul has already appeared before the Roman Emperor Nero once. It was unheard of for a Christian to appear before Nero at all. Paul knows he's probably going to go back and appear before him again, and Paul has a good feeling that's going to be the end of his life, because history tells us that he is killed after he writes 2 Timothy. So as he's closing out a letter to his son in the faith, notice what he says. 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. Paul says, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also unto all them that love his appearing. Paul's under house arrest, yet he's victorious. Why? Because he says, I know my race is about over. He says, and I can see the prize at the finish line. He says, I have fought the good fight. Henceforth, I know what's waiting for me. And we're going to see that a prize motivates us to do well. We'll see that more in tonight's lesson. But flip with me one more time to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. No, that should be 1 Corinthians. I type that wrong every time. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you're using my notes online, it's wrong there as well. Hopefully I can fix that this afternoon. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Paul says, know ye not, one of his favorite phrases, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that they may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Notice what Paul says. Paul's once again going to use that idea of a marathon runner. He says, I have finished the course. Now notice, it is a sprint. It's not a sprint, it is a marathon. I have run the race, not the sprint. Verse 26, not uncertainly, that means he knows what he's doing, he knows where he's going. Friends, no one will win the race unless they know what they're doing, so our finish line is in heaven. Friends, faith is the victory. Let's hold on to that idea of a marathon as we draw this lesson to a close. Have you started the marathon? How are you going? Did you start out strong? What about by the time you reached lap 3, or lap 7, or halfway, or are you nearing the end? Only God really knows, but you might have an inkling. Friends, keep going. Paul says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the high calling. Paul is longing for the goal. He is goal-oriented. He has that goal in front of him, and nothing is going to deter him from making it there. Friends, you either need to start your journey today or you need to keep going. Now, if we were at the church house, we would have an invitation hymn picked out ready to go. But it's going to be kind of hard to do in this format. But I tell you what, if you need help spiritually, I would love to maybe do a phone call or a video call or a Facebook message. Just send me a message. Or say, hey, can you contact me? We would love to get in contact with you, help you out spiritually. Maybe you need to obey the gospel. Do that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing. Upon that confession, you're baptized, go in that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. That is the only way to be saved. If you might need any help in that avenue, please let us know. We would be honored to assist you in that. I do have one more plug, and then the lesson is yours. Because like I said, this is just part one. Part two, we're going to see how we can overcome the world, and that will happen live tonight at 5 o'clock. Thank you for watching. Dad is going to come back up here. We're going to sing a song to focus our minds on the taking of the Lord's Supper.